Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench. So in 2006, Allen Iverson averaged 31.2 points a game. In 2005, he averaged 33 points a game. 2004, 30.7 a game. And then back to 2001 and 2000, 31.4 and 31.1. I mean, that's 5 seasons in the 30s. I guess you can sit there and talk about, no one likes him and all this other stuff, that none of his teammates liked him. And if, you know, that's holding water and true, so be it. Fair enough, right? All I know is, and literally, I mean, I could tell you, that his numbers, like rebounds and dimes, is like 3 rebounds, 6-2 dimes per game, career averages. And I'm just looking at, in the playoffs, Kyrie Irving's best year was that Cleveland year. They won the title, and he averaged 25.9. And then as far as his career goes, he never averaged, the highest he ever averaged ever was 27.4, and that was in 2019 with Brooklyn. That was the most he ever averaged in his career. He had 25 once in the season in Cleveland, where he averaged 25.2 when they won the title, and 25.9 in the playoffs. And at Duke, he averaged 17.5 a game. Don't get me started on, Allen Iverson. You know, and I get it. Fair enough. People get caught up in all that stuff where they play and everything. But you cannot argue with me about the numbers. I mean, it's just unbelievable. In the playoffs, he averaged 32.9 in 2001. When they went to the finals, 31.7, 31.2. Overall, career, 29.7. And in college, he averaged 20.4, 25, and 23. So, career in college, 23 to 17. Look, the numbers don't lie. That, I mean, it's all about numbers. You can talk all you want about players didn't like him and teammates didn't like him. Do you honestly think that Mafia, the teammates, like Kyrie Irving never showing up for work for weeks at a time? You're going to tell me that you're going to sit here and tell me, I know you're not going to tell me that, that you believe that all the guys that go to work every day and bust their ass, that they like that he doesn't show up for work for 2 weeks. I mean, I'll get your opinion in a second. I want to, at the very least, welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, and Armed Forces Radio. Good to have you with us. It's Pharrell on the Bench on a Tuesday night. I'm Pharrell with Mafia. All right, Mafia. So do you believe that the Nets players like seeing that guy not show up for work? Now, look, no matter what the reason is, saving the world, you know, he's got issues with the community, with the police, with the treatment of blacks, whether it's the, you know, COVID, family issues, no matter what it is. Doesn't everyone in life have problems? Doesn't everyone have issues? Doesn't everyone possibly fight for a cause they believe in or stand up for something they believe in? Doesn't everyone have something going on in their life, but they still go to work? You know, it's funny. You know me. You've known me 17 years. You've seen me go through. Like, you can count on one hand the amount of shows I've missed. On one hand. And I'm just telling you, like, all this talk, and I love Marcus Hayes. He can say whatever he wants, and I still love him, that he doesn't think Iverson's better than Kyrie Irving. But the reality is, he basically said no one likes him, and everyone hated playing with him, because he's a ball hog. But the reality is, in my opinion, like, numbers don't lie. Everything in the NBA is about numbers and rings. And I get that he won a ring, and I just said it simply, he had LeBron James. Allen Iverson never had anything. He never had anybody. And the bottom line is that his numbers are so staggeringly higher than Kyrie Irving's. It's not even funny. I mean, Kyrie Irving has never once gone over 30 points for, you know, a season. Like, averaged over 30 points. He's never done it. So his best season ever is 25 points. Whatever. 17 in college. None of his, he never once, Iverson beat him in every level. College and pro, every level, every season. What do you think?
I'm with you. I mean, I think Kyrie's definitely a more talented player and physically gifted probably, but AI worked harder. The guy, you know, would not let anybody beat him. He worked his ass off every game, and he played every game. It was like watching a voodoo doll when they show all the injuries the guy would have if they played through every game. Everywhere Kyrie's gone, he's left awake. People hate him.
Yeah, you talk about people hate him. I think more people hate Irving. We'll come back and talk about it.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so 6 foot, 165 pounds, soaking wet, 14 seasons in the NBA, shooting guard, point guard, 11-time NBA All-Star, was the All-Star Game MVP in 2001 and 2005, and in 2001, he was the MVP of the league. And he's in the Hall of Fame, and everybody knows he partied, he drank like a fish. The whole deal. And all I know is, and I know that after the Sixers, Nuggets, Pistons, Grizzlies, it all was kind of, you know, a slippery slope down after that. But in Philly for me, two-time, like I said, MVP of the All-Star game, three-time All-NBA first team, three-time All-NBA second team, All-NBA third team once, NBA Rookie of the Year, NBA All-Rookie first team, NBA Rookie Game MVP, four-time NBA scoring champ, four times, three-time NBA steals leader, his numbers retired, he was an All-American at Georgetown, first-team All-Big East, second-team All-Big East, two-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year, Big East Rookie of the Year, and a Parade All-American, 24,368 points, 3,394 boards, 5,624 dimes, bronze in Athens. I was there when they failed to win the gold medal in Athens. I went with my dad to the Athens Olympics and went to see basketball, soccer, the whole deal, track and field, boxing. Still can't believe they didn't win it. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, I don't have a... I mean, that's just crazy, right? Like, you can't even... I mean, what are you going to say about that? Like, I don't even understand how you could even... I get it. I understand. You know, what I think Mafia is that it's because he's playing now and he's in your vision. He's on your TV. He's in your life. You see him on ESPN. You see him, you know, we certainly see him a lot around here in New York because he's on TV every night playing basketball when he shows up. But he was Rookie of the Year, selected by the Cavs in a first overall pick in the 2011 draft. Six-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA, won the championship with the Cavs in 2016, whatever it was. And, you know, I won't deny the guy's impressive. Six-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star game, MVP once. Iverson did it twice. All-NBA second team, All-NBA third team, not first team, not NBA first team. It's second and third. He won the three-point contest in 2013, USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year, whatever that is, FIBA World Cup MVP in 2014. I will say this, he won gold in Rio, so that's impressive, but, you know, I'm just telling you, like, you can talk all you want. Career 22-4. Way less than, I mean, let's face it, 5 points is huge. And then playoff average, 23, also under Iverson. College under Iverson. I mean, it's all about, I get it. They'll give him the ring and they'll say he's better because he's got a ring. That's like saying Dan Marino sucks. Allen Iverson never played with anybody. That's just all there is to it. And you play with LeBron James in his prime. Look what happened. The guy went to 8 straight finals. And Kyrie Irving played with him and won a title, and then he couldn't get away from him fast enough. So was it the other way around? They couldn't deal with him. Then he went to Boston. How'd that work out? Now he's in Brooklyn. How's that working out? When they got Harden, what did everybody say, Mafia? They said, how's he going to be able to get along with Kyrie Irving, who's a complete ball hog? And, you know, it's like Marcus said, that Iverson's a ball hog. Well, what does that make Kyrie Irving? I mean, honestly. I mean, I could sit here all day and argue with anybody. And hey, here's another thing. In my opinion, and I've said this every time someone asks about it, is that Iverson, there was no one at all could guard him, including Michael Jordan. And that's all there is to it. And then, fair enough that people think Kyrie's better, like Steve Nash. I get it. But I never saw Kyrie Irving light up Michael Jordan. And who did he light up? I mean, who did he light up? Like, who's better than Michael Jordan that he's played with besides LeBron James, right? Mafia, you tell me, who's better? Who's better, like, in terms of who's better than LeBron James in the NBA right now in terms of, like, that he's lit up? You know, when he played, they beat the Warriors, right, on his shot. I'll give him that. He hit a game-winning shot to win the NBA title on a team with LeBron James. Do you think that Kyrie Irving could have beaten the Warriors without LeBron James blocking that shot on the glass and coming back from 3-1 down? Do you think they came back from 3-1 down because of him or LeBron James?
Completely LeBron James. I mean, look at the play before that shot that he got was LeBron going down in that chase down block. Otherwise, that shot that he took wouldn't have mattered.
Right. So that's my point. I just said same thing. So my point is who has he broke down that's better than Michael Jordan? Who's he broke down? Have you ever even seen him break down LeBron James?
Nope.
Because he played in Boston. So did when he was playing in Miami, was Kyrie Irving breaking him down?
Nope. The only thing Kyrie broke down was the championship team.
Yeah, you got that right. You got that right. So do you understand where I'm coming from in this argument that, and I, you know, because I think he said, and like I said, I'll say it again for the 15th time. I love Marcus. This is not about Marcus. I can understand why he doesn't like him. He was in Philly, probably turned up, who knows, turned off by him, whatever. But my point is that I'm always talking about it. Like, people always are trying to sell me that this guy's better than that guy because he's no longer in existence. He doesn't play. He's not on your mind. He's not on your TV. You know, after he got done playing, he drank himself to death nearly, whatever. You've seen him. Like, I'm surprised he even made it to the Hall of Fame to get inducted, right? But I thought it was great that he did. We all know he's been a mess. We all know he lost everything. And then, you know, when he turns, whatever, what is it? When he turns, is it 50-something or 60? He gets all that money, like $35 million from Reebok or something like that. Bottom line is, the reason why people think Kyrie Irving's better, in my opinion, is because he's, you know, he's in the now. He's in the news. He's on the Nets playing with Harden and Durant. And I think, and I'll be honest with you, I think Kyrie's phenomenal. I really do. I also think Harden and Durant are both better than him. I think he's great, and I think they're better. So it is
Max,
what it
sometimes
is.
I'm
and then
just riffing. Would you allow me to riff? As the leader, can I riff? Can I riff?
See that? I start riffing. And then bottom line is that he plays that when Harden came to that team, Mafia, everybody said, how will Kyrie Irving be able to play with Harden? Because he's such a ball hog.
Right.
It's always got to be about Kyrie. Huh?
And he's gotten along with no one. That was the big thing, is that, you know, he couldn't get along with LeBron, couldn't get along with the young stars in Boston. Then came to Brooklyn and was causing stuff. He didn't even play last year. He was like, hey, no one go to the bubble. Everyone stood out. You know, even when he wasn't playing, he didn't want to play. So always causing problems.
So in your mind, seriously, and I think I asked you this already, I got to hear it again. Who do you think is a better player, Iverson or Irving?
I mean, I think Irving has more talent, but I would take Iverson every day because he's going to, you know, play his ass off, and he's going to make you win. Irving's not going to do that. He's going to tear you apart.
Oh, that's beautiful, Mafia. I like you more by the minute. By the minute, I like you more. When we come back, I'll tell you what's happening in these college and pro games. So St. John's has the rock with 15 seconds left in overtime. They're down three. Butler turned the ball over on a pass down from like the top of the free throw line to down low into the block. And the guy, it went off of his hands and he lost the ball out of bounds. And then the ref called it Butler ball. It was like the worst call I've seen in a month. In any sport, it was so bad, and they had to reverse it because the ref was so corrupt. Mafia, you saw that play in real time. I was like, what? Did he just call that Butler ball? The ball went off in this guy's hand so bad it wasn't even funny. Now, that looked like a foul to me when he drove the basket. And if imagine that, an and one at the basket. That was my idea because I didn't think that Butler was going to let him shoot a three. They'd foul him and make him shoot free throws down three, right? But I like the idea of driving to the 10 because I think guys are so stupid when they're playing, they want to defend that drive. So a guy right there defended him. You saw the play. He followed him all the way to the basket and fouled the crap out of him. And then they didn't call the foul. They just called a loose ball that went out of bounds, still St. John's ball. You cannot tell me, Mafia, that wasn't a foul on the guy at the basket for Butler. You can't tell me that wasn't a foul.
That was clean. He kept his arms up. He never reached forward. He was moving with him. I call that clean. I think that was good.
So you don't think that was a foul when he drove on that guy?
I don't. I think he played good D. Just kept his hands straight up. Never reached. That's the thing. If you keep him up, you're straight in the air. You're okay. Once you reach, you know, into their space, that's where they nail you.
Yeah, but I don't believe that. That whole rule of keep your hands up and they'll never call the foul on you. They still call the foul with your hands up in the air 90% of the time.
Oh, guys, they do because refs stink. NBA, but
guys in the NBA hold their hands up straight up all the time and they still get called for the foul. And then when the ref blows, they're like, I got my hands straight up in the air. And they still call them because refs suck in college and pro. But I thought he drove there and got fouled. and got no love at all, and then they got the call with the loose ball. So now they've got like 7 seconds to get a three off or to drive to the 10 and get fouled and get an and one. I think now Butler knows that they tried to drive and get the foul, and they're not going to succeed at that again. I think now they need to get it in, fake a three, pass it to someone for a three, and get a clean look off and shoot it and hopefully tie the game. Here's the inbounds. They go cross court. Deep shot. He bricks it. They still got a loose ball. Shoot it. Up in the air. Oh, air ball. Game over. There you go. Game over. That was horrible.
Yeah, those were what a horrible force.
What a horrible possession for St. John's. They lose. 76,
what, 7 seconds? Why the guy that they threw the cross court pass? He didn't have to take that shot. He could have taken a dribble, got a little space, and then shot. He wasn't on balance. He forced that one up. That was terrible.
Oh, I thought it was a terrible shot, too. I thought it was a terrible possession altogether. So, there you go. St. John's loses. That's a bad bet right there tonight. But I hit everything else. I hit West Virginia beating Texas Tech in Lubbock. How about that? They were getting like five and too many points. So I might as well just tell you what happened in college basketball. Butler wins 76-73. Notre Dame beat Duke 93-89. Duke officially on the suck watch. Arkansas 81-80 over Kentucky. They were getting one or one and a half when we were on Coast to Coast today. It went from Arkansas being favored, laying one, to getting one and a half. Dayton lost. I went with Dayton. VCU beat them 76-67. I did say VCU's better, but they're playing in Dayton. I think they can give them a game, and they didn't. Not much of one anyway. St. Bonnie by 13 over LaSalle. I think the number was 13. I think they pushed. Alabama beat South Carolina, but they didn't cover. They were laying five, I think. They won by 3, 81-78. I gave you Syracuse winning in Raleigh against NC State, 77-68. They were getting one. I gave you Michigan State. They won, but they didn't cover the two and a hook. They lose. They win by two. So the hook beat, yeah, bad beat there. Kent State, I picked 71-67. I just want to look at that number again. I have it right here. I looked at it today. Kent State was a straight pick 'em when I got him on FanDuel. Texas won. They didn't cover against Kansas State. They were laying 15. They won by 3. That's embarrassing. Auburn won by 6. They were laying 5.5. I lost by a hook there as well. I hit West Virginia spread 82-71 over Texas Tech. Creighton I hit, blowing out Georgetown tonight, laying 6.5. They win 63-48. And TCU wins by 3. They were laying 5.5. They didn't cover either. Everything else was postponed. NBA right now, early in the third, Utah leads Boston 53-52. Good game on TNT. The Blazers are up 60-49 on the Magic with about 9 minutes left in the third. Sixers trail the Kings, 6.5 left in the third, 81-76. Kings are leading at the Golden One in Sacktown. I went with the Kings, Blazers, Jazz to win, Celtics to cover in those games. Blazers, I laid it. Kings, I was getting 4. I think it went to 5, didn't it, or something like that? And then I hit the Heat to win, Knicks plus 7. I hit the Pistons plus 9 against the Nets. I hit the Pelicans to win and laying. I got to look at that number. The Pelicans line was 4. They win by 29. They blow out the Rockets. And the Warriors, I was getting 1.5, and they won big, 114-91 over the Spurs. And that was Mafia after losing to the Spurs last night by 4. And in this one, Curry has 32 and lights it up. Did you see Curry's shot, his backward shot, his flick up off the glass, not facing the basket, looking the other way? He flicked one over his shoulder and it went in. Did you see that shot, Mafia?
I did see that. That was insane. I mean, sometimes the way these guys have just that insane awareness of where the basket is incredible. Like, you and me, we do that. That's going over the backboard into the fan and stands, hitting where, you know, people would have been, even though no one's there now. Him, he somehow goes in the net.
He was 11-20 from the floor, 4-10 from downtown, 4 boards, 2 dimes. and did all that with just one foul. So impressive performance by Mr. Curry this evening. In the Pelicans win, and I've been talking about this team, they're playing well all of a sudden. They're one game under 500. And in that game, Zion had 20 and 5, 7 dimes, 5 boards, 7 dimes. Ingram had 22, 5 and 3. Lonzo had 15, 6 and 3, and 3 threes. Ingram had 3 threes. Bledsoe had 10, 2 and 4 with 2 threes. How about Josh Hart with a 20 spot tonight and 17 rebounds? Jesus. Josh Hart, 20 points, 17 rebounds, 3 dimes. That's a hell of a game right there. And Hernan Gomez, 14 and 10. The double-double. Mafia loves the double-double. All right. Pelicans on fire all of a sudden. In the Pistons win over the Nets have lost 3 in a row. Your boy Steve Nash, who says Irving's better than Allen Iverson, a Hall of Famer, he said that it's a question of basically do they have enough desire, enough pride? Do they have enough gumption to go out and want to win games and the will to win? Apparently not. And then Kyrie Irving said, we work too hard to lose all these games. Apparently you're not working hard enough. He had 27 tonight. Harden had 24 and 12 dimes. The double-double. Mafia loves the double-double. And then, I mean, that was it for them. But the other side, Jeremy Grant had 32. He lit it up. 4 threes, 11 of 19 for the floor, 5 boards, 4 dimes. Pistons win. I was getting 9. In that, I told you the Heat win the game. All that mattered to me was watching D-Rose go for 14 with 3 assists, a steal, and a blocked shot. I thought he was incredible. And then for the Heat, Butler had 26. Olenek had 20, including 6 of 8 from downtown. Tyler Hero had a 15 spot. Heat beat him again. What is that, 3 straight over the Knicks? And then now it's Kings 81-80 over the Sixers. 5.5 left in the third. Blazers 67-51 over the Magic. 7 left in the third. And this game is 55-54 Jazz. 9:44 left in the third. So there you go. And then as far as hockey goes tonight, Jets and Flames in a good one in Ferrell, Alberta. 2-2 in the second with 1.5 left. Vegas up 4-1 with 1 minute left in the second over the Ducks. Sharks and Kings after 2, tied at 2s. I hit the Panthers 2-1 over the Red Wings. I hit the Oilers 3-2 over the Senators. The Lightning pounced on the Predators. I went with the upset with the Predators onion pick tonight and got burned again. 10-2 in goals the last 2 nights by the Lightning over the Predators. The Blackhawks beat the Stars. I lost that in overtime. We told you the big story today was Ron Hextall gets the Penguins GM job and Brian Burke gets the president of hockey operations job at 66 to run the Penguins. And bottom line is Brian Burke will report to Morehouse and the owners Burkle and Lemieux, and Ron Hextall will report to Burke. And that's the chain of command.
844-843-6879. As long as you can remember.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So Conley's not even playing tonight, and the Jazz have opened up a 10-point lead in the third with 6.5 to go on the Celtics. So have you seen the the baseball story mafia that they're going to change the baseballs again. I think there was a point where, am I wrong, that they when all the balls were flying out of the parks, that they wouldn't admit that the balls were tighter and that they acted like they were normal and everything was kosher and there was no problem at all and they weren't doing anything to the baseballs. Wasn't that pretty much the case? Did they ever admit?
Like, oh, yeah.
I don't remember. You're telling me they admitted that they made them fly out of the park?
No, of course not. Never. They said it was the same ball and nothing new, and I don't know what you're talking about. It's just maybe it's just the way, you know, things are going with humidity or the bats or the players. They never admitted they doctored the ball, even though everyone knew it was real.
All right, so when the game is played now, right, all they talk about is launch angle and, you know, the speed of the ball off of the bat and, you know, all these analytic terminology BS, and they show all this stuff when you're watching the game. They got all these graphics where they show the ball leaving the bat and how it flies and at what speed and everything else. Now, and I just think it's just stupid. I mean, I guess fair enough. I'll never understand. Do they do that for some reason, like the younger generation or something? Do they actually believe that young kids are, that, you know, let's say between the ages of, I don't want to use the 18 to 34 analogy because I know I have a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and the 16-year-old likes baseball, and he likes, you know, the game, and I don't actually believe he sits around studying launch angles and bat speed and the ball leaving the bat at what speed and whatever the hell else. Is there any other terms I'm missing here, Mafia? With the baseball, what they do now with home runs, they have all these different.
Of course, there's a million terms. I can't even keep track of them all. I mean, they make up terms every day for different things they're now tracking or, you know, calculating. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, so now they literally they talk about the bounciness of the ball and everything else, and you know, the new ball, not to mention humidors. They talk about where they keep the balls and, you know, it's just the craziest thing, right? Anyway, so launch angles and all the stuff, this analytics, it drives me nuts. Like, it's simple for me, you know, pitch the ball, hit a home run, catch the ball, steal the base, hit the, you know, runner over and get a hit and drive in the run. Score more runs, the other team win the game. Close the game. Bring in your reliever, close the game. Now we talk about all these stats and all this, these angles and all this other stuff, the speed of the ball and coming off the bat and how high it went, how far it went, everything else. And it's because the balls were juiced. They never wanted to admit it, but, you know, and here's why I am convinced that they were juiced. First of all, more home runs than ever, right? Just absolutely more home runs than ever. When you watch baseball now, there are more home runs than there are hits. There's more home runs now than anything. Singles, doubles, triples. There's more home runs. There's probably more. All there is in baseball nowadays, you know, it's true, Moff. It's strikeouts and home runs. That's all there is. Guys go up to the plate and they swing away and they either strike out or they hit a home run.
Big man hit ball far.
That was obvious right there that was a home run. And then I just feel like when you watch the game now, all you see is strikeouts and home runs. And there's
my goodness, Chilcutt pathetically waved at that one like he just recognized his ex-girlfriend across the bar.
That was actually the Reds play-by-play announcer that got fired last year.
And like Ben Affleck's depressing directorial debut, that one is going to be gone, baby, gone.
Mavi, is that Brockmire? Is that show still on? I think it is, isn't it?
No, I think last season was the last season, the one that they had in the pandemic. But that was Brockmire, yes. Your boy Hank Azaria.
I love that guy. I like that guy. So anyway, I think the problem.
No, game recognized game.
Here we go.
No, game recognized game.
I can't even do it anymore. All I know is that game recognizes game. No, I think that when you watch a game now and all you see is home runs and strikeouts, it sucks. You want to know why baseball sucks? There's your reason right there. And I agree with anyone that misses, you know, bunting the runner over, hit and run, you know, hit in the gap, hit down the line, hot corner, you know, smash the ball past the third baseman or the first baseman, go for two, stealing bases, Ricky Henderson, Lou Brock, defense with guys like Ozzie Smith. I still think you see defense in baseball, and it's typically guys making catches at the wall because there's home runs flying out and the ball is flying out every game, multiple home runs every game, and then you got guys jumping over the fence and making catches. But turning double plays and, you know, all the little nuances of baseball to me are gone because of baseball juicing the balls and believing that chicks dig the long ball and buying into that all people care about is the home run because they put on their stupid ass home run derby every year at the All-Star Week, which is essentially akin to standing in line at Disney World all day and paying $5,000 to do it. Like, I don't want to stand in line all day doing anything. Mafia knows I will not stand in line anywhere. I'm not going to the DMV either. I'm not doing it. I just won't do it. I'd rather drive illegally than stand in line all day at some, you know, DMV, some backward-ass government-run office that is pathetic. Every state, everywhere you go, it's the worst. Well, it's the same thing as baseball. It's so bad. And then they won't admit that they juice the balls. And, you know, now you know they juice the balls because it's pretty simple, if you ask me. They never admitted they juiced the balls, which they did. But now you know they juiced the balls because they're changing the balls. So they had to have changed them before. Does that make sense to you, Mafia? If you can change them now and deaden them and make them fly shorter distances, which is what they're saying, the ball is not going to travel as far. It's deadened. It's going to be caught by the outfielder. You're going to have to really hit it now, actually, to hit a home run. Because now in baseball, all you have to do is swing, make contact, and it goes 450 feet because the ball's juiced. Do you believe that by admitting that they're going to deaden the balls, that they juiced them before?
Of course. I always believe they juiced them. I never believe their lies. You know, all these commissioners and these leagues, they always give you a whole, you know, bunch of BS and expect you to be stupid enough to buy it because most people don't care. They're like, yeah, whatever. I love home runs. That's all they care about. But people like us who know the game, who've been watching it our whole lives, say, you're full of it. You did something to make this fly out. You're not juicing the players, so you're juicing the balls. And now they're saying, oh, well, we're going to deaden them. Obviously, something was done. Obviously, now they realize, all right, this is ridiculous that everyone's just hitting the ball left and right. We're breaking records like it's, you know, nothing. This is insane. We need to get back to what the game should be, and they're fixing the balls that they screwed up in the first place.
Do you think that, because you remember when they used to sell Chicks Dig the Long Ball? Here's an idea for
you.
I
love that commercial. Still one of the greatest commercials ever.
Well, that's fine, but my point is that chicks don't dig the long ball because they don't dig baseball. I mean, there's what? One in every 25 chicks that like baseball. And don't tell me you like baseball just because you go to one game every summer at, you know, wherever you live. If it's Citi Field, if it's Yankee Stadium, or if it's in Kansas City, or if it's in Los Angeles. If you go to one or two games a year with your boyfriend or husband and you sit there and eat ice cream and popcorn and watch a game, doesn't mean you like baseball. I'm sorry. It doesn't. If you like baseball, if you truly like baseball, Mafia, you have to watch baseball every night and at least four or five games a week. You got to watch or listen. People that love baseball, watch it, read about it, and don't miss it. ever. They watch every day. They have it on their TV. They have it on their radio. They read about it every morning in the papers. They go online and read about it. They follow their team, follow the players. They know everything. I do not believe chicks dig the long ball. I believe chicks could care less about baseball. They could care less about it. Overall, I know a handful of women that like baseball. A handful. I'm talking one handful. I'm not talking both hands. I know one handful of women that like baseball. I mean, really like it. And that follow it like crazy. And this is not a slight at all on women. This is chicks dig the long ball. How about my ass? They don't dig baseball at all. If they did, you know, they'd be diving into it. And like, I think guys, I think chicks like Jessica Mendoza, she loves it. I think she's great. But I think, you know, her love affair with baseball is legit. I got no problem with anybody that loves baseball. I really don't. I've watched baseball for 50 years. So I know everything about baseball. All I know is I follow it, and I still think it's boring.
Here's my
theory. It's not boring.
A woman can't really love a man unless he's part dope. Be a little stupid every day and really stupid once in a while, but just don't be perfect.
That was Mafia's speech at his wedding rehearsal or wedding. What was it? The reception? That was actually from the reception. Can you play that again? This is dramatic because I think any guy that's getting married now or having like Carver High's having a new kid, I think he should go back and listen to your speech at your reception. Listen again.
Here's my theory. A woman can't really love a man unless he's part dope. Be a little stupid every day and really stupid once in a while, but just don't be perfect.
That is great. So, Mafia, now, I know Kristen likes baseball. She likes sports, right? But she likes baseball. But does she really like it? I mean, no. Like, really like it? Like, diehard, like, wears her baseball cap and reads the baseball standings every day and everybody looks at all the, you know, game recaps and everything.
No, she likes sports, but she doesn't like any sport. She's not into any sport like that. And she played college softball, and she doesn't care about baseball that much. I mean, I barely care about it that much.
She played college baseball, and she still doesn't care because she doesn't give a rat's ass because no one does.
Correct.
And you know why no one cares anymore about baseball? Because it's boring, and they need to fix it. And if it means deadening the baseballs and putting syrup in them, I'm all for it. Mafia, do you think the game would be better if there was, like, Mrs. Butterworth's, like, syrup in the baseballs? And they were sticky. And they would stick to the wall. Mafia is awesome. I just said, what do you think of the Mavericks not playing the national anthem in their games, preseason or regular season of any of their games in Dallas? And Mafia goes, I don't give a F. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, they should worry about their office management of how they run their sexual harassment division at the Mavericks instead of worrying about the national anthem police. So nowadays, everybody gets all bent out of shape about the national anthem in this country that, you know, they kneel, the players kneel. They don't respect the flag because they don't respect police brutality because of Kaepernick and everything else. And now the Cuban-led Mavericks don't play the national anthem. But I would agree with Mafia that they, it's funny coming from them, the ones that had all the people that worked at the franchise complain about being sexually harassed at work every day, that they're the ones breaking new ground and not playing the national anthem with their Maverick, no pun intended, owner, Mark Cuban, notoriously from Pittsburgh, where I grew up in the same town, same neighborhood, and went to Indiana just like I did. The problem with him is he's older and uglier than me. And it's true. Mafia knows it's true. We were on in Dallas. I met a guy today in, at the gym, Mafia. A new guy moved to town. He's got a new job. And he said, I've been to Dallas a lot. And he said, what'd you do in Dallas? I said, I jumped naked into a lake. And he said, what? I said, have you ever heard of Lake Louisville? He goes, yeah. I said, I hosted a drunken orgy streaking and nudity festival in Lake Louisville. And he said, are you Pharrell? I was like, yeah. He's like, I remember that on the ticket. There you go, Mafia. You remember our road trip to Dallas. A lot of nudity, streaking, swimming naked, beer, and women. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Sports Rage is next. Good night.